Thank you for finding Sunday night's Main Event, Canada's premier wrestling radio show. You're about to hear hour one of the program, but if you'd like the full show, commercial free, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. Contributions start for as little as $4 a month. That's a buck a show. Less when a month has 5 weeks. And along with that, you also get the Patreon-exclusive podcasts. So visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. And now, on with the show.
The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE presents Super Showdown Under, and the dead man really does look dead in the main event. After the Aiden English reveal, it turns out the most exciting thing in Milwaukee is the Brewers World Series hopes. And with the mayhem from last night's UFC 229, I think it's about time that the UFC put a roof on the octagon. Book it, friends. McGregor versus Khabib. Hell in a Cell. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's Main Event. I'm your host, Jason Agnew, and we've got 2 hours of Conor McGregor coming at you. Okay, well, it's not going to be that bad, but it is notable news, and I am going to be covering it, so I'm going to mix up the show format a little bit tonight. In the first hour, I'm going to give you all the news of the week, and since UFC 229 and its fallout managed to make its way to the top of that list, Dave Meltzer is going to move up in the show tonight and will be with us in the first hour. In hour two, a look back at the triumph of Buddy Murphy at WWE's Super Showdown in the Triple Threat segment, where this week I'm joined by former WWE referee Jimmy Corderas and 411 Mania's Larry Zonka. I'll also take a whole bunch of your feedback because the Facebook group was hopping this week. If you want to get in on it, search SNME Radio on Facebook and join the group, or follow along on Twitter at SNME Radio. No phone calls tonight, but we will be doing them next week on the Post Bound for Glory show. So I'll also get you set up with a preview of that event in the second hour of tonight's show. We're going to take a break, come on back, and I will get you informed. A recap of all that was. The news of the week is next, followed by Meltzer. It is Sunday night's Main Event, and you're listening to it on TSN Radio. Each week on Sunday night's Main Event, our Turnbuckle Trivia winner receives a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. Well, now that t-shirt could be one of ours. Visit ProWrestlingTees.com/SNMEradio and get your official Sunday night's Main Event t-shirt. It's got that nifty 80s parody logo and comes in your choice of white or black. Because unlike modern day wrestling, I prefer not to endorse shades of gray. Get your t-shirt today at ProWrestlingTees.com/SNMEradio.
Friday nights is when all hell breaks loose as Major League Wrestling Fusion takes over BN Sports. Watch as some of the biggest stars in the sport, like MVP, Loki, Filthy Tom Lawler, Jimmy Havoc, Barrington Hughes, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and many more battle it out for championship gold to truly prove who is the best of the best. Major League Wrestling Fusion. BN Sports.
Contact your local cable provider and get BN Sports today.
He's screaming at Dylan Danis, Conor McGregor's jiu-jitsu coach. Look at him. Oh,
and
no,
now Khabib jumps the fence.
No.
Whoa!
No.
No. And he's going right at Dylan Danis. Mayhem! Oh, no. Total chaos here. It looks like UFC security has corralled Khabib Nurmagomedov. Oh! Nurmagomedov teammates throws a right hand at Conor. All hell has broken loose.
This is crazy.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's Main Event.
Well, kicking things off with a clip from last night's Main Event where you heard Khabib Nurmagomedov submitting Conor McGregor at 3:03 of round four with a neck crank. Khabib's record remains spotless at 27-0, but his reputation certainly did not. It was a near riot scene mere seconds after the fight ended as Khabib jumped the cage and attacked Dylan Danis, one of Conor McGregor's coaches. While this went on, one of Khabib's teammates hopped the cage and landed a hard punch on McGregor when he wasn't looking. Officials did their best to break up, but a near riot ensued. McGregor was then escorted out of the octagon before the decision was read. Khabib remained in the ring and wanted the belt to be put on him, but Dana White could be heard in the ring saying, if he puts the belt on Khabib, people would start throwing things into the octagon and people were going to get hurt. Khabib was then ushered out of the arena by a large group of security, and the crowd did begin to throw things at him while he was being escorted out. Bruce Buffer read the winner's announcement to a chorus of boos. Now, at the post-fight press conference, Conor was absent, but Khabib showed up, apologized to the media, and then seemed very confused.
I don't understand how people can talk about I jump on the cage, you know. What about he talk about my religion, he talk about my country, he talk about my father. He come to Brooklyn and he broke bus, he almost killed a couple people. What about this?
In the end, Khabib's purse was held up. However, Conor's was not. Now, we're going to spend a considerable amount of time talking about this situation on the show today. We're actually going to move up the Dave Meltzer segment to the next block because it's extremely newsworthy. So, yep, Dave will be up next. But from here on in, let's move into some other news. And actually, let's stick with the world of MMA because there was a lot that happened this week. Alexander Gustafsson has signed his contract to fight John Jones at UFC 232 in Las Vegas on December the 29th. He's now taunting him on Twitter, saying, "At Johnny Bones, you are pissing me off. I signed my agreement. Where are you? Are you chickening out again? Stop being a coward. Hashtag chicken. Hashtag sign the contract. Hashtag scared." Speaking of John Jones, he appeared on Ariel Helwani's show this past week. And when asked if he wanted to fight Daniel Cormier a third time, he said, "No, I don't. I already have all the marbles when it comes to Daniel Cormier. I've beaten him twice. This game has never been personal. What is personal to me is chasing greatness, not individuals. So in the case of myself and Daniel Cormier, he needs to fight myself one more time if he ever wants to be considered one of the all-time greats. I don't need to fight him again to be considered one of the all-time greats. I have many more years to prove it." Oh, but that was not the only John Jones incident of the week. You see, he and GSP are trading jabs on Twitter. This came about because GSP said that someone who failed a steroid test shouldn't be viewed as the greatest of all time. Jones responded, insinuating that GSP has had brain damage, saying steroids make you more creative than hungry, and again was mad that people have said steroids gave his kick added power that knocked out Daniel Cormier. This is John Jones, of course, but you know, they do, and they did. So I don't know what John Jones is saying, nor do many people. However, he does remain in the news. For fans in Toronto, UFC has announced a featherweight championship main event of Max Holloway versus Brian Ortega on the December 8th card. Now, that was supposed to co-main event the show with Valentina Shevchenko versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk in a women's strawweight championship bout, but UFC, in their infinite wisdom, has now moved that strawweight fight to the main event for Madison Square Garden. But it gets better. Cien Jacek, one of the names in the fight, was not interested in moving up to that card. Her replacement will be Sahara Eubanks. And in one of the most popular clips of the week, on the Joe Rogan podcast, he and Brendan Schaub had this to say about it.
Valentina Shevchenko versus Sahara Eubanks. What?
They just bumped it
for
up.
The vacant flyweight title, were headlined UFC 230.
I thought Joanna.
Yeah, no offense, but I don't even know who Sahara Eubanks is, and I'm the commentator for the UFC.
Again, we'll talk with Dave Meltzer about that and all of the Conor stuff coming up in the next segment. But let's move back into the world of pro wrestling. It was reported on Tuesday that Neville has made his in-ring return, and it's exactly where he came from. Dragon Gate. He went by his old name, Pac, and appeared in the main event of a Dragon Gate show. It was also announced that Neville will be wrestling in a four-team tag match at Corrigan Hall on November the 6th. Once again, that is with Dragon Gate. Despite the upcoming multi-million dollar TV deals, the slippery slope of WWE ratings is not letting up. Raw fell another low on Monday night, dropping 2% from last week. This looks to be the second lowest rating ever on the USA Network. From hour 1 to hour 3, the viewership steadily fell from 2.5 million to just under 2.1 million. There will come a time very soon when it drops under 2 million. PW Insider reported that Rey Mysterio has re-signed with the WWE and is set to return to the company at SmackDown 1000. Yeah, also announced for the show, along with Rey and the Evolution faction, are Michelle McCool, Tori Wilson, Teddy Long, and Vicky Guerrero. After the Liv Morgan incident of last week, Daniel Bryan came to the defense of his wife, Brie Bella, on social media, stating, quote, "I am proud of how strong my wife is." After accidentally injuring Liv Morgan last week, for the first time, Brie's ever hurt another performer. She's been subject to a constant barrage of social media attacks. Almost every wrestler has accidentally hurt someone, but rarely do you see this kind of hate when it happens. He then went on to give examples of him hurting others by accident and never getting this sort of backlash, and also pleaded to stop cyberbullying. I'm going to plead with them both to grow up and use the block function on Twitter. With Halloween coming up in a few weeks, WWE Network subscribers will get a Halloween special featuring Matt Hardy. The special will be called Broken Universe, and it's going to double as a pilot for a series. Same family cast seem to be along: his wife, father-in-law, that's of course Senior Benjamin, and sons, as well as Vanguard One, are all part of the cast. I am hoping that Jeremy Borash is also involved in this production, because he was key in those early ones in Impact and making them great. So get Jeremy on it if he's not already there. Pete Dunne is currently dealing with a foot injury, though the extent of the injury isn't known at this time. It's been reported he will not have to miss next weekend's NXT tapings. He did, however, have to pull out of a Destiny Wrestling main event this weekend. He was replaced by Loki. WWE backstage reporter host Charlie Caruso has joined ESPN, but will not be leaving WWE. She'll be using her real name, Charlie Arnold, on ESPN, and be doing SportsCenter updates and hosting their Snapchat show, because, you know, that's a thing. WWE is promoting an NWO reunion with Hulk Hogan, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash on October 27th in Orlando for $199, the low, low cost, which includes the taping of an Eric Bischoff podcast and a 2.5-hour Q&A with Hogan, Hall, and Nash. I don't think you could pay me $199 to go sit through it. Last week, I mentioned that Cody Rhodes will be defending his NWA title versus Nick Aldis at the 70th anniversary show in a 2-3 falls match. Well, the NWA women's title will also be defended. And get this blast from the past, as current champion Jazz. Yeah, remember her? She shall defend her title on the card. An opponent has yet to be announced. MLW made an announcement this week. It's going to be part of WrestleMania weekend in New York City. They will be holding TV tapings at the Melrose Ballroom in Queens on Thursday, April 4th and Friday, April 5th. The second night will be headlined by the second Battle Riot match in MLW history. And with all the workers in town that weekend and all of Court Bauer's connections, you can bet this is going to be a fun, fun match. And don't forget, next week is Impact Wrestling's Bound for Glory event. I'll have a preview of it in the second hour of tonight's show. And next week, Dan the Mouth of Ransky will return to co-host the show live and recap it here with me. And then we will take your phone calls afterwards, chatting about anyone who's actually seen the show. Listen, I criticize Impact Wrestling a lot, but to be honest with you, Slammiversary was a very good show, and I'm hoping for the same for Bound for Jericho. I mean, Glory. Now, granted, I have no details of that, but, you know, he's good buddies with Callis, so never say never. And finally, a nice bridge from wrestling to MMA and back again. Alberto El Patron announced he's returning to MMA to fight for Combates America on their first pay-per-view in early 2019. Patron said his opponent would be a former super champion, well-known in both North America and Mexico, but the deal is not done for his opponent. So I'll be honest with you, I'm going to believe this when I see it. Now, for those of you that don't know, Patron used to fight under the name Dos Caras Jr. and actually had a couple fights in Pride back in the day. That was around 2001, though, so that's a long time ago. And that included one against Mirko Krokop, where he fought with a lucha mask on. Wonder if he'll still do that. We are now going to take a break. When we come back, as I mentioned, bumping on up Dave Meltzer. He will be in the next segment, and the Triple Threat will be in the second hour. Turnbuckle Trivia is still to come as well, and we'll take an in-depth look at the Super Showdown that the WWE presented yesterday, very early in the morning, if you live in North America. We're going to do all that and more. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. I like that show. Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Well, the music hit a little bit earlier in the show today because everything got moved around after the crazy incident last night, UFC 229. Dave Meltzer joins us right now. Dave, I was going to talk Super Showdown with you, but I feel as though there's more pressing matters.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable night in so many different ways.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is, I recap the incident off the top of the show. However, at this point, you know, everywhere you look on TV, any sports recap, people have seen it. And I think maybe that in itself might be the heart of the issue here. It's that when things like this happen, UFC and these fighters get more attention. So why would they stop?
Well, this isn't a good look. You know, I mean, it is such a weird thing because, you know, when you look at the Dolly incident,
yep.
The fact is the Dolly incident directly led to this fight, and this fight, everybody was saying, was going to destroy all records. So a bad thing becomes a thing that makes more money, and it's a sad situation. It's also reality. It's a hard one to grip. I mean, they promoted that in all those videos, which I hated. I hated that they promoted it, but they did. And then this happens, and yeah, they're really embarrassed on this one. But they should have been embarrassed on the last one, and they should have, Connor's done a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, Connor hit employees in that thing in Brooklyn, and they, you know. They went from, you know, Connor basically cost several matches on a card. He's being sued and everything. And here he is, you know, just a couple months later, he's in the main event of the biggest show. And then this happened.
And so they pulled away from the incident pretty fast when it was on TV. They went to a wide shot. And one thing I didn't catch immediately, because the announcers are making it seem like Connor is the innocent one in this whole thing. But apparently there was footage of someone getting close to Connor in the octagon after the fight had ended and him taking a swing at them first.
Yeah, I mean, so there was a guy coming to him who was on Khabib's team, and he threw a left right at the guy and hit him before he was hit. So he did throw the first punch. Perhaps the other guy was going to punch him first. He's not the innocent victim here. But Khabib started this melee. Khabib was absolutely wrong. But who started the story is Conor McGregor throwing a dolly trying to get at Khabib. In the end, you can maybe even argue that maybe Khabib started it the day before when, you know, he intimidated Artem, who's Conor's buddy. They're both guilty. You know, it's like this is not pick a side. And, you know, I know a lot of people want to do that. This is not pick a side. They're both very guilty, and it escalated and escalated and escalated, and this was the latest escalation. And one of the reasons it was the latest escalation was because they kept promoting, and Conor kept pushing buttons, and it was great business for everyone. And, you know, this is what happened.
So, but the funny thing is about picking sides. I mean, this is the classic scenario of two wrongs don't make a right. And we've seen more than two wrongs in this scenario. I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of guilty parties here. But last night after the fight, so Khabib's purse was held up, but Conor was paid.
Yes. And I watched that footage, and if nothing else, you know, Khabib started it, but Conor, you know, Conor threw the first punch in the octagon. Mm-hmm. Khabib hopped the rail and attempted to get at a guy outside the octagon. It was going to be a bad situation once Khabib jumped over because it was teammates protect teammates and everything. It was just a mess.
How long till this turns into Hell in a Cell? Like putting a roof on the octagon. It's funny, there's so many guys jumping over the octagon, and this is slightly a joke, but then again, there's a lot of guys jumping in. I mean, Conor actually jumped into the octagon, was it last year at a Bellator show, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's completely ridiculous. So now looking at this, with Khabib starting the melee outside, his purse being held up, what do you believe the ramifications will be for Khabib coming off what, you know, a title defense? He's still supposed to be the champion, but everyone that I was watching with was saying, he's got to be stripped of this title.
What I expect to happen is him to be suspended for a while, and UFC having to strip him of the championship because he's not going to be able to defend it. I don't know that that's what's going to happen, but that's what I expect to happen.
And
that's what should happen.
And then then you run into the problem of, you know, Khabib being the champion but not having the title, and you know, there's a possibility of a new champion or an interim champion, whatever it is. It doesn't have the sense of legitimacy to it.
Yeah,
and
same as light heavyweight with Cormier. He never beat the champion. Everyone knows Khabib's the real champion. And when Khabib's suspension is up, he'll come back, and it'll be just like John Jones, and it'll be a giant gate, whether it's, you know, Ferguson. I mean, like, him and McGregor, you know, I mean, as bad as this sounds, they'll do bigger business for the next fight than they did for this one. But, you know, in a sense, how do you book it? Because, I mean, this was a conclusive match. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know, they had no finish and then this happened.
Right.
You know, like, this was pro wrestling. This they had a finish, and it was Conor tapped
to a neck crank, yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, the fight, I think that there are two fights on Conor McGregor's potential fight list that people want to see. And number one is
there's more than two. There's many, actually.
Well, I mean, you have GSP and you have this rematch.
Diaz.
Okay, yes, that's true. But I mean, could you see this rematch coming into play, especially, you know, soon, like first thing off the suspension?
If Conor gets some wins. No. I think first thing off the suspension would be difficult, but yeah, I think when people calm down, I think that rematch has a good shot of happening. Right now, I think that if you ask like Dana White, he would say no way.
Mm-hmm.
But a year from now, you know, when people haven't seen Khabib fight, it's an awful lot of money to not, you know, especially because, yeah, Khabib could go in there, and it's not even a championship fight, unless Conor ends up with the title
right
in the interim, which is always a possibility. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways it can go, but will we see them fight again? It's, you know, in 2-3 years or less, I think so, yeah.
And the funny thing is, this footage will then be used to promote that fight.
I hope not, but, like right away, no. A couple of years from now, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things. I kind of think that they won't, because maybe I think that they learned their lesson from the last one, but time will tell. I could be dead wrong on this one.
Yeah, I don't know, Dave. I don't have very high expectations of what UFC, you know, will avoid if the mighty dollar is involved. And
everyone, yeah.
You know, and I really think we've seen that as well, and I wanted to segue over to the fact that John Jones is looks to be making his return as well. A light heavyweight fight versus Gustafson. Is this going to be for the light heavyweight title?
It looks that way, yeah. So the irony that John Jones is now going to win a championship, possibly, or Gustafson, from a guy who, you know, when a champion didn't lose his title. So, yeah, it looks like that they're going to, you know, I mean, I guess strip Cormier because Cormier's the heavyweight champion and they need to do something. So, and he's going to defend the heavyweight title. So that's what Cormier said. It looks like that they'll probably strip him of the title and the Jones-Gustafson winner will become the champion.
The only nice thing about this that I see for Daniel Cormier is his fight versus Brock Lesnar is not ruined by John Jones trying to stick his nose in there. So it looks like we get Cormier versus Lesnar, and what's the timetable on that?
I'm sure they want it as soon as possible, so that would be late January, probably. The first pay-per-view of 2019 is what I would guess would be when you would do it. Because you want it as quick as you can, so hopefully Cormier will get one more fight in before he retires. And whether that's John Jones or Gustafson or something else, I don't know. He spoke about wanting to cap his career off with a Lesnar fight and then a light heavyweight fight going for the championship.
And Jones,
you know, he would like to win it back so he could retire, and that would be, you know, that would be the high retirement if mm-hmm. he wins those two fights. I mean, you couldn't go out better.
Now Jones though went on Helwani's radio show this week saying he's little interest in fighting Cormier because he's already beat him twice. Is that posturing, you think? Because to me, there's still money in that fight, of course.
Yeah, I mean Jones is trying to push Cormier's buttons 24/7.
Yeah,
so that's what I would say.
So as we talk about this, it looks like for better or worse, depending, you know, not taking into account who these people are in it and their drug suspensions, the UFC has a lot of interest in a lot of their main events, except for UFC 230 at Madison Square Garden, where Valentina Shevchenko is fighting Sahara Eubanks at Madison Square Garden?
Well, it's not... Okay, here's the thing. Having that fight on the card, there's nothing wrong with it, but billing it as the main event is insane. The main event is Nate Diaz and Dustin Poirier.
Right.
I mean, that's the main event, and that's where all the advertising should go because that's the match that's going to draw you if you're going to draw anything. The women's flyweight championship fight, nobody's going to care about it. If you promote that as the main event, you're costing yourself money. So I guess we'll have to watch the promotion, but even calling, you know, it's like, I think the rule is because it's a championship fight, you have to call it the main event. But mm-hmm. I think this is one of those times where you break the rule. You know, I mean, it's like when Tim Sylvia fought Andre Arlovsky, which is a bigger fight than that one.
Yeah.
When you had Ken Shamrock and Tito Ortiz underneath, and everyone knew that Ken Shamrock and Tito Ortiz was the real main event.
Yeah, except Tim Sylvia.
Exactly.
Who thought that he drew that?
Who thinks he still drew that 770,000 buys with Andre Arlovsky?
Do you think, are they going to put the women on last, though, or they're going to put on the Diaz?
Yeah, I think they're going to put them on last. That's every indication I have is that.
I foresee New Yorkers leaving the arena.
If it's a long, long show, I think you're right. Yeah, and it could be. It could be a long show.
Let's flip over to the world of wrestling. I mean, it was a day that I'm sure you and I both bookended with getting up very early to watch WWE Super Showdown. Your overall thoughts on this show?
A mixed bag. Obviously, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and Cedric Alexander and Buddy Murphy were really good matches. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of really bad matches on the show. I think a lot of it comes down to how you view the Undertaker-Triple H match. I didn't like the match at all. I thought it was really sad to watch, but it did have a lot of storylines. You had a lot of Shawn Michaels interference. They're big, big names. If you're into big, big names and you know, lots of run-ins and angles and that stuff, it did deliver on a smoke and mirrors basis. You know, I just thought it was just sad watching Undertaker. It's like when it was over, it was kind of like, okay, I have a lot of leniency when it comes to guys, as long as they can still go to a certain degree because they have names and everything, and certainly the last couple of years, I never resented Undertaker coming back. But this one, when it was over, it was like, I really feel that Undertaker is going to look back in 20 years at the tape of this match and just go, why did I ever do it?
Why was it 27 minutes long?
Yeah.
That was an incredible...
They had a million things they had to get in, but I think that didn't help either. Yeah, it went way too long.
Yeah, I'm in your boat. They're well beyond their prime. I wouldn't say that for Triple H. You know, I think he can still go. I think the jury's out on Shawn.
I think he can go in. Shawn probably can, too.
Yeah.
And Kane can go to a degree. To a degree, but yeah, I know what you mean. I don't need to see Kane, especially now that he's mayor. You know, it's kind of like, you know, move on. I mean, let him move on. I mean, I don't think it's the best thing for a mayor to be doing. I know it's a lot of money for him, especially for a Saudi show.
Yeah.
So I know why he's doing it. I get it. But, man, I don't know. The whole Saudi show after yesterday, that's another one. It's hard for me to justify that show. I mean, I never could to begin with, but now it's like even worse.
Yeah. We'll tackle that one in just over about a month's time, actually. John Cena appeared on this. It felt like a cameo in a movie. He did five moves and was done.
45 seconds or something.
Yeah. I knew he wouldn't be doing much, but this was extreme. As far as WWE and John Cena, I mean, at this point, is he just there for special appearances and that's it? Or do they have any plans of throwing him back in? Or does he have any plans of doing more?
I get the impression that he's an actor now.
Yeah.
I mean, he certainly gave the idea that this was a sort of farewell. I mean, I'm sure he'll be back at, like, WrestleManias and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as far as being back as, like, a weekly guy doing house shows and everything, I don't think he needs to do that anymore. I think it's time for a new generation. I don't think he needs to be, like could he come back for a pay-per-view when there's the right story? Of course. But I think that, yeah, I think for him even, for everyone's, for all concerned, I think it's best for him to be limited now. He's moved on, and more power to him. He had a great career.
He did indeed. A couple injury notes before we go here, Dave. Sasha Banks, is there an update on what's going on with her?
No, that's been kept really quiet. I don't know what's going on.
And Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne's a foot injury. I don't think it's too serious. I'm trying to check on that, but I got the impression that he would be at the next set of tapings.
Right. And finally, we have a big return this week, and that is Neville returning to Dragon Gate. Now, of course, you know, he has history there, but are you surprised with all that's going on in the world with independent wrestling, with all these organizations and the potential demand for him that was his choice?
That was
A choice, I suppose.
I'm surprised he's not all over the place.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see what he's doing. I was surprised he went there. I thought it would be New Japan for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a funny thing. You know, you start in the business, and the idea is to work your way up to a certain level, and Dragon Gate is supposed to be a stage at that level. And I think he got to the top level, and all of a sudden, I think, whatever it was, my gut says that he probably looked back on his career and just go, that was the funnest part of my career. I want to go back and do that again. And so that's what he's doing. And more power to him.
There's something to be said for going to work and having a good time because it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
Dave, we're going to wrap up this week. What is coming up in the Observer? How far away are we from Hall of Fame results?
Let's see. The balloting ends like October 20th, so probably mid-November.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this week in The Observer, obviously, it's Conor McGregor, a lot
Conor
of that.
Conor McGregor and Khabib and all the fallout of this, the fallout of the Australia show.
Yep.
What the build to the Evolution show and the Saudi Arabia show. Whatever happens in the next couple of days as far as the commission and Khabib. And, yeah, it's no shortage of news this week, that's for sure.
That is very true. Well, we will chat with you next week.
And the pay-per-view numbers when they come out.
Of course. What's your prediction before we go?
I don't know. I guess if you want a number, maybe 2 million.
Two?
Maybe more. I mean, the one thing is the word of mouth. This was a hell of a show.
Yeah. Oh, it was very good.
Replay buys these days are so small because you get so much of it on the internet.
Of course.
But if ever there was a show that was going to do replay buys,
this
is it.
Yep. It's funny, though, because it was a solid show pretty much all the way through.
I thought it was a hell of a show. Yeah.
And it's all being overshadowed by...
Khabib's performance was incredible. Tony Ferguson's performance was incredible. Derek Lewis, we should be talking about.
Oh, man, that promo, Dave.
I know. Derek Lewis was absolutely incredible, but it's all been overshadowed by what happened after the show.
Yeah, that's too bad. Anyhow, next week we'll be talking about another pay-per-view with you. It's Bound for Glory next week. So
I know. It's sneaking up on us.
It is indeed. We'll find out.
I mean, the last Impact pay-per-view was really good.
Yeah.
So, there would be a time where I would go like, whatever. And I think that a lot of people aren't excited about it. But, you know, I mean, Impact's had some, you know, if you look at the lineup, it's a good lineup.
Do you believe, I'll let you go on this, do you believe that it is Bound for Jericho?
believe Jericho's going to be there.
Yes.
I believe there's a possibility of Jericho being there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but right. I know people in the business who believe he's going to be there. They certainly plug his crews like crazy.
They do indeed.
TV show.
Yeah.
So I think that they're, you know, he's a free agent. He's friends with Don Callis. Yeah, I mean, I certainly think there's a chance.
All righty. Well, we'll have that answer next week when the Mouth and I chat with you.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Thanks, Dave. Talk to you next week. That was early. It was early to chat with Dave Meltzer this week. I will come back. I'm going to get a little bit more in-depth into Super Showdown. We touched on it there, but let's go a little bit more in-depth. Coming up next, it's Sunday Night's Main Event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
I am cold like December snow.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
What do Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Lucha Underground all have in common?
They're all booked better than WWE?
Well, yes, but the answer I was looking for is that they all sell merch at ProWrestlingTees.com. From Okada to Omega, CM Punk to Dalton Castle, and what better way to show off that you enjoy a good super kick party than by having it written on your chest? The best selection of wrestling merch anywhere is at ProWrestlingTees.com.
An incredible reaction from the hometown crowd when Murphy kicked out of the lumbar check. Now Alexander's got to be saying, what do? I've hit Murphy with everything in my arsenal.
I'll tell you what you do. You hit it again. You hit it.
Alexander lands on the apron. Murphy, I think, believes Alexander went out to the floor.
I think Murphy's still feeling the effects of the lumbar check, amongst others.
Murphy caught him. Caught Alexander knee. With the knee. Murphy now looks to put Alexander away. Is it enough for Murphy to win the title? Shoulders are down.
Well, to me, that was the highlight right there. Buddy Murphy winning the Cruiserweight Championship by defeating Cedric Alexander in what was a great match, and a match that capitalized on the fact he's a hometown boy. It's so simple. And kind of goes against a lot of what the WWE has done in the past. Welcome back. It is Sunday Night's Main Event. That, of course, from a Super Showdown. What I woke up to yesterday morning, it was quite the day. Yesterday for fans of wrestling and MMA in North America, because if you opted to get up and watch Super Showdown live so you didn't have any spoilers, I guess people still worry about that, then you got up at 5 a.m. and the show ran from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. Overall, I thought it was a pretty decent show. As I said, that was by far my highlight, with Buddy Murphy winning the championship there. And I'm really happy to see not only him, but also Iconics. The Iconics won their match, which surprised me, actually. I thought the Iconics may lose to offset Buddy Murphy winning. And on the podcast yesterday, because for those of you that are patrons, there is a complete one-hour recap and rundown of this event that I did. It's the first ever patron co-hosted podcast with a gentleman, a listener of this show named Chris Hogg. He was at the event live in Australia, watching it live, so we get all the live feedback from Chris while I give you the feedback on the TV event that all of you watched as well. So it was kind of cool to have both perspectives. But apparently there was a bit of a sense in the arena when the Iconics won that, uh-oh, we've given a win to the hometown girls. Does that mean the hometown guy will not be winning? But I mean, I was glad to see both of them win. And yeah, Buddy Murphy having the moment of the night. That was the positive of Super Showdown. There were some things that are being perceived as negative. One, the short Daniel Bryan match. That was more surprising to me. But in the end, what it all came down to for me was that final match at Super Showdown. And it's where nostalgia really crossed the line for me. I was completely disinterested in the fact that you had these four old guys, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to keep saying old guys in the ring. Undertaker 53, Kane 51, HBK 53, Triple H 49, a combined 206 years old in your main event of Super Showdown, which is also going on to be the main event of Crown Jewel. You can see that building with the last angle. You know, it's interesting because Triple H would have been someone, and Shawn Michaels as well, in the era where they were the original DX and they were, you know, the young-ish guys running around at that time, that they were in WWF and they were criticizing WCW for putting legends like Hogan and Piper into the ring when they could barely move. But now we kind of found that in this scenario. And maybe, okay, I'm not really talking about Triple H. I think he can still go. You're still going to get a lot of great matches out of Triple H. Michaels, the jury's out on him. We'll see what happens in Saudi Arabia. Kane and The Undertaker, though, it's done. It's done, guys. That's enough, especially with The Undertaker. That's enough. This was a sad experiment. This was a sad match that we saw, and it's going to be sad once again at Crown Jewel. I lost all interest in this. I was just waiting for it to be done, and I say waiting for it to be done because it was 27 minutes long. There's no need for this match, this nostalgia match, because that's what it is. It's nostalgia and remembering these guys from when they were great, and they were great. All of them, even Kane. Look at that character that has lasted all of these years and all the incarnations of Kane. They're all great performers that we have wonderful memories of, but there's no need to have them in the ring for 27 minutes. I actually think that if you look at this card, you may have seen a good example of how to present a nostalgia act with John Cena. It was actually too little in regards to what we get out of John Cena. A tag match where Bobby Lashley works the entire match, gets beat down by Owens and Elias, and then Cena comes in, literally just does his five moves of doom plus one, and gets the pin. And he was simply making an appearance. Now, I'm not saying we had to scale these guys back to that, but I think a 12-minute match would have been just fine. Not double that. More than double that. So that was pretty much Crown Jewel. Did you get up early to watch it? I did. And if you want to check that podcast out, then by all means, check it out at patreon.com/SNMEradio. All of my opinions are there. The full recap is there. And the live perspective is pretty neat as well. However, for today's show, we're going to get really in-depth into Crown Jewel in hour two. It is coming up next. It is the Triple Threat. It's Jimmy Corderas along with Larry Zonka that are joining me in the Triple Threat for the second hour to kick it off Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour of the show, it's available right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Contributions start for as little as $4 a month, which works out to a buck a show if you're just listening to the weekly show, but we'll also throw in all of the bonus content, including the Patreon-exclusive podcasts. So visit us right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
The world of MLW Radio never stops.